Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, AFR. And I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Good morning. Good to be here for another week.
All right. A lot to talk about today, as you would hope there would be on a Monday. Otherwise, we don't have a talk show. Huh? I guess we're good. But, hey, tell folks how they can engage with us on that their internet, Ed.
Yes, if you would like to watch the show live, mm-hmm. you can go to either Facebook or YouTube, and you can type in Today's Issues and click through, and you can watch our beautiful faces as we discuss the news of the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to discuss the news of the day is that first part. A little bit of an overreach, though.
A little fake news there.
But Facebook or YouTube, and we will be posting the stories that we discuss on our Facebook page. So you can get the sources, the original sources there of what we were discussing on our Facebook page for Today's Issues. We have a bit of breaking news, although it happened late last week. That's some really good news for on the religious freedom front, right, Fred?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when Barack Obama was president of the United States, part of his agenda was really to go to each federal department and impose upon them basically a liberal-leaning non-discrimination policies. And one of those, and we, you know, we're aware of this, they're trying to get Catholic hospitals to do abortions as an example, that kind of thing. And it, one of President Trump's main aims has been to maintain religious freedom so people can operate their businesses, Catholic hospitals can operate hospitals according to their Christian beliefs. One of the things that Barack Obama did, he went to his Health and Human Services Department and started dealing with adoption rights. And in this case, that when dealing with people who want to adopt children, there's not going to be any discrimination against a child going, for example, to two homosexuals. And so that is, there's an announcement now that that doesn't necessarily have to take place anymore.
That's right. And it's not only adoption agencies, it's also foster care.
Yes.
And so if you have Christian groups, some of them get federal dollars. Now, some Christians listening may say, well, see, there you go. You shouldn't have any involvement with the federal government. Well, it is public money. Mm-hmm. So Christians have as much right as non-Christian nonprofits to, if the government believes that adoption and foster care are important to our society, they want to pitch money to help that. Christians have as much right as anyone else. So for those who are Christian and they do take federal money, the Obama-era regulations for Health and Human Services said, well, if you're going to get federal money, you can't discriminate against homosexual couples. And the Trump administration proposed a rule. It was released on Friday by the Department of Health and Human Services. Those Obama-era regulations have been removed. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a period of time in which public comment is going to be accepted by HHS, and we are going to be sending out an action alert, Tim, that will get Christians to let their voices be heard.
Yes. Just to simplify this, and you did a great job, Ed, as you Fred, but to simplify this, President Obama said if you're a Christian organization and you disallow the children you place into homosexual couples, to homosexual couples, you're disqualified mm-hmm. from any federal aid, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. President Trump has reversed that as of Friday through the Health and Human Services Department, and they said, no, that's no longer in effect. Christian adoption agencies and foster care organizations can still receive federal aid, even if they disallow their children to be placed with homosexual couples, because this is a religious liberty issue.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So it's a religious liberty issue. So a Christian organization can't in good conscience, most of them, most all of them, can in good conscience place children with same-sex couples because they believe the same-sex couples are illegitimate when it comes to the Bible.
Right.
Because the Bible only allows for a man and a woman.
Right.
So correct me if I'm wrong anywhere along the way here.
No.
So it's as simple as that. Now, the other side is going to say you can't lose. And how do you answer this, Ed? I'd be curious. The other side is going to say you can have your religious freedom, but you can't use that to discriminate against fellow Americans who happen to be gay. How do you respond when people say that?
Well, first
that sounds like a reasonable argument.
Sure. First of all, there are plenty of non-Christian adoption agencies and foster care where you can go and get the children.
Right.
So you're not being denied access to the adoption process. What Christians would say, secondly, is the government has no right to tell Christians what they can believe and how they are to live. And so there is no argument except for those on the secular left and in the LGBTQ activist community. We're talking about the activists here who simply hate the fact that Christians will not say gay is okay. Mm-hmm. Just like Christians won't say adultery is okay or fornication is okay. That's not allowed. You can't say those things are okay because God's word says they're not okay. So,
you know, the other aspect to this story is here's President Trump. He's facing all kinds of flack and criticism at every corner, but he has not backed away from his commitment to religious freedom. He has not.
No.
I mean, he could easily say at this point in his presidency, well, let's just set this aside.
Right.
Because I don't need any more flack.
Right.
But he's not doing that.
No, this took guts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did.
If I can use that word. I mean, this is a bold move because you're right, Fred. It'd been easy just to ignore this issue. So the president, again, following through with his promises, one of his promises. And this is only basic fairness and religious liberty that the First Amendment calls for. You're going to shut down Christian adoption agencies because they won't place children with homosexual couples?
Right.
That's what the left wants. Shut them down.
Yeah, if you do want to do that, don't pretend like you care about kids.
Right.
This is about your agenda.
Right.
By the way, I did mention, for those who are listening and who do not regularly get the AFA Action Alert, if you go to afa.net, you'll see up at the top, the AFA Action Alert. Please sign up for those later today, probably, maybe early tomorrow morning. We will have an action alert out that will guide you through the process of letting your voice be heard as Health and Human Services accept public comment on this proposed rule change. We want to make sure the federal government, the White House, this administration, hears what Christians have to say about this. This is an easy way to make that happen.
And Jewish people. And,
yes,
and
true.
Muslims and any other kind of people who support religious liberty,
right.
Religious freedom. Next story, Fred.
Well, back to the impeachment process by the Democrats. There's a development over the weekend on this. The whistleblower. Now, last week, Sandy Rios and others quoting a document identify this whistleblower. And the person named is a known Democrat activist and used to work for Joe Biden. That's kind of an interesting factoid that the left-wing media has not talked about.
If I can borrow from Gomer Pyle at this point, Fred, I would just say surprise, surprise, surprise.
But the Republicans would like to talk to this whistleblower. Now, we need to remind people this is not a traditional whistleblower because whistleblowers supposedly witnessed something. Remember now, folks, this whistleblower talked to somebody who heard the conversation between President Trump and the new leader of the Ukraine. So he didn't witness the phone call himself.
Right.
But he's being protected by the Democrats. So here's the development over the weekend. The lawyer for this whistleblower is saying, Hey, you Republicans, if you want to question the whistleblower, write your questions down and we'll write you back. And Jim Jordan, a Republican Jim Jordan, said, not enough. We want the opportunity, just like Democrats. We know Adam Schiff's office and his people talked to the whistleblower even before the story broke. So we want the same opportunity to sit down with this man who says he believes all of these things happened in this conversation. There was a quid pro quo, et cetera, et cetera. And we'd like an opportunity. I think one of the questions they'd like to ask him is, did you work for Joe Biden?
Yeah.
Somewhere along the way. And
did you work for Susan Rice?
Yes, work for Susan Rice.
Under the Obama administration.
And you have a connection with Ukraine yourself. Is, you know, these are all rumors right now. We kind of like to verify this.
Right.
Well, Jim, you know, and of course the lawyer for the whistleblower at this point, they're not going to do that.
Right.
That's the bottom line. So Jim Jordan has been talking about this for some time. Here's cut 11 of Jim Jordan, Ohio's Jim Jordan, on Schiff and the whistleblower.
6 weeks ago, Adam Schiff said, we need to hear from the whistleblower. We need to have him come testify. Schiff has since changed. Now he says, we don't need to hear from the whistleblower. So what event happened in that time frame that changed the chairman's mind? Only one thing. We learned that Adam Schiff's staff had met with the whistleblower, and Adam Schiff didn't tell us. But again, I think the American people have a right to know who the individual is who started this whole thing. 63 million people voted for Donald Trump in 2016. They have a right to know what this is all based on and what the Democrats are doing.
Yeah, but I speculate that this is not going to happen. This whistleblower is not going to come forward, and especially supposedly the Democrats, they turned this little corner last week. They want to make it more public now. If they weren't willing to do it behind closed doors, bring the whistleblower in, I don't think Adam Schiff and Nadler and the other Democrats are ever going to allow him to testify in open public session.
Well, I'll tell you when the whistleblower will come to D.C. and speak to members of Congress, and that is if the Democrats insist on filing articles of impeachment against the president and the trial moves to the Senate, the Senate will bring the witness. Now, I don't know whether that'll be publicly or whether it'll be behind closed doors, but the Senate will question the whistleblower, and these kinds of questions will be answered, and then I'm pretty sure the rest of us will find out about it. So the fact that Democrats are playing this game when they can, apparently they're not thinking about what happens when this moves to the Senate, because all their lies and skullduggery, yes, I said that, skullduggery, will be exposed when this moves to the Senate.
Well, to your point, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina wrote a letter last week to the House Democrats saying, just, you need to be aware. If it gets passed to us in the Senate, this is what we're going to do. And among other people we're going to call for witnesses is Adam Schiff.
Yes.
We're going to call you into witness.
Because apparently, allegedly, Adam Schiff lied to the American people when he was asked by the media, have you or your office ever talked to the whistleblower? Oh, no, we never talked to the whistleblower. Well, now it turns out that he did.
Yes. The other thing that, you know, people keep going back to the Clinton impeachment. Remember, Ken Starr,
right,
special prosecutor, did all the investigating, but then he made himself available, whether he had a choice or not, to come in and be a witness.
Yeah, he was questioned.
He was questioned about, where did you come to this conclusion? Who did you talk to get this information? Lindsey Graham has said, okay, you want to draw comparisons. You say you're doing it the same way, Democrats, as was done with Bill Clinton way back there. Okay, Ken Starr made himself available. Adam Schiff, you're going to make yourself available. We're going to ask you questions as to how you came to this conclusion that you wanted to move forward with impeachment.
Because Adam Schiff is comparing himself to Ken Starr in,
yes,
the process.
Yes.
And so what Lindsey Graham said, this is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Graham said, well, then Adam Schiff, you will be Ken Starr.
Yes.
You will come before the Senate, mm-hmm, and we will grill you like Ken Starr was grilled. Grilled Adam Schiff. I look forward to the day.
Oh, yeah.
Adam, how you like them apples?
Welcome to the U.S.
Yes,
Senate.
Sir. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Ed and Fred, and we thank you for listening. If you'd like to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. All right, Fred.
Big night in Minneapolis last night. One of the favorite members of the squad, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar,
mm-hmm.
had a big rally with her good friend, Bernie Sanders. In fact, she okay. was calling him the next president of the United States, President Bernie Sanders.
Okay.
She had some interesting things to say. Of course, she's not a big fan of Trump. Cut number 10. Yeah, here's what she said about President Trump.
That is the only way we are going to defeat Donald Trump and place his cruel ideology in the dustbin of history where it belongs. Together, we are going to send a powerful message with this president. Your effort to coddle white supremacy, to ban Muslims from entering the United States, to call people at neo-Nazi rallies very fine people, will fail.
Okay.
And just as a matter of fact, none of us are going back.
Yeah.
Once again.
Lies.
Yeah, once again, everything she just said right there, this is like with Beto O'Rourke, this is the constant refrain of the left. Half-truths.
Oh, yes.
Half-truths and misrepresentations mm-hmm. that probably the average person out there is not gonna dig into.
Right.
Okay. Now, politicians against their opponents have used half-truths forever, and forever they will.
Right.
On both sides of the issue. Our misrepresentations are taking things out of context. I'm well aware of that, but this Charlottesville thing, ban all Muslims from coming
right.
to. What was the other one she said? She said something. Coddling white supremacists.
Right. And calling coddling white supremacy. I think those are the three, wasn't it?
Okay, President.
Banning all Muslims yeah. and then the Charlottesville.
See, all those things you could explain, you could refute in just a couple minutes.
Right.
Okay. But anyway, I just wanted to make note of that. They're continuing with this. That's how they whip people into a frenzy.
Right.
And that sentiment she expressed, though, that has gained a stronghold.
Yes.
In the Democrat Party in particular. That's why they don't...
That's why they do it.
No, she said Nazis were very good people. Remember she said about yeah. Charlottesville.
Right.
She said President Trump said about Nazi, about white supremacy, about neo-Nazis, that some of them were very fine people.
Right.
Okay, he didn't say that.
Right.
But she says, anyway, they repeat the same stuff over and over and over.
But they repeat it because the old adage, if you repeat a lie long enough, people begin to accept it. That might have been somebody from the Nazi era. I forget.
He did say there were some very fine people on both sides. I think that's what he said. But he was talking about the people who were there to rally at Charlottesville to support leaving the statue of Robert E. Lee where it was and not changing the name of the park.
Right.
That's the fine people on both sides he was talking about.
And the point he was trying to make is that good people on both sides can disagree about that. You know, without
but she said
evil
he's supporting
people.
Nazism,
right?
Huh?
Right.
Can you imagine President Trump going? You know what, team? I think it's going to be a great idea if we go ahead and go with the Hitler vote.
Yes.
You know,
support Nazism.
I think we need to come out and support Nazis.
Yeah.
What is it, anybody think it's a bad idea here? I mean, that's a kind of ludicrous scenario.
But
that she wants to believe that President Trump supports.
But Antifa, the left-wing group, their name means anti-fascist. I mean, that's Antifa is a shortened version of that because they really do believe they're opposing fascists. Because if you're conservative, you're fascist.
Yeah, and President Trump is the leader of the fascists,
yes.
which is what Hitler was.
Right.
So they likened him to Hitler.
Yes.
Hitler killed 6 million people, Jews alone. Okay, wreak havoc on the world, a World War II.
Right.
The whole world war was fought over Hitler's ideology. That's who they're saying President Trump is like.
Yes.
Right? That's what they truly believe.
Yeah. They Ilhan Omar believes this. I'm guessing she believes this.
That he's a Nazi.
And I, but I, the good thing is, though, Tim, okay, sarcasm alert coming up, is that Bernie Sanders did come on the stage afterwards and say he disagrees with that. He said he disagrees with calling, likening Donald Trump to a Nazi.
Yeah.
No, I'm being sarcastic, folks.
That's right.
I didn't watch his speech. I guarantee he didn't do that.
You don't have to watch Bernie Sanders' speech. He's a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
He's just going to sing the
socialism.
He's going to say the same thing every time he speaks. Of course, a lot of these politicians do. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, at this rally also, Ilhan Omar last night called for, here's a quote, a mass movement of the working class. All right, a mass movement of the working class to get rid of Donald Trump.
Workers of the world, unite.
Well, let's stop and think about this for a moment. The working class.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot more people working in the working class today than there was under Barack
Very
Obama.
Very good. I like it.
Duly noted.
Let's go back to the stats that came out on Friday. Lowest unemployment rate in decades. 150,000-160,000 new jobs created in the last quarter. It's nonstop, folks. Stock market reaches new high. I think it was up 300 points on Friday. So more of the working class that she's calling upon to get rid of the president who deserves the credit for this economy, she's calling upon them to dump him. For what? For socialism.
Let me ask you this question. I just have to ask. I'm always curious about language that politicians use. Working class, give me another class. And I'm serious, because she says working class people need to rise up and throw Donald Trump out. My question is, you have the working class, and then you have what else? She doesn't care whether they rise up.
This is Marxist language. So rather than say the proletariat, which that's what she means by the working class, she would say the bourgeoisie, the capitalist class. It's Marxist. It's Marxist sentiment.
Okay.
So it's the people who own capital. It's the people who run the businesses and own the corporations.
The people Elizabeth Warren's after.
Yes. That's the other class. So this is proletariat versus
bourgeoisie.
That's
what I thought, but when you say working class, I'm going, there's a working class, and then there's the what class? The non-working class?
Right.
I would go ahead and appeal to both, wouldn't you?
Yes.
I think the working class and the non-working class need to unite to get rid of Trump.
Right.
I think that's what she meant to say. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, I'm
you don't know what to say after that, do you, Fred?
I don't
that's
know.
That's pretty good stuff right there.
It just rolled out there. Yeah. But you know, I just believe the American people are a whole lot smarter than what Omar thinks they are. And, you know, this is the thing. But what she's saying presents a problem for the Democratic Party in the long run, because you've got Biden over here who says whatever Bernie's proposing is not working. Biden over here is saying Medicare for all, which is what Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders want. And so what's going to happen? What's going to happen when it comes to they finally get to a convention? And let's say Biden wins. 2016, we saw a bunch of Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren type people. They didn't even show up to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Right.
They're going to face the same problem again. These people are so far to the left. There's a whole bunch of so-called moderate Democrats that are, I can't support that.
Right.
They're not going to show up at the polls. They are actually digging a hole for themselves.
Right.
These Democrats. That's what's happening right now.
All right. We shall return after the break. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Much more to talk about. Kanye West, the singer. Is traveling the country, and he's talking more and more like Billy Graham. All right, we'll talk about that when we get back.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day. or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Here's today's Bible Minute with Brian Clark.
Genesis 11 tells us about people who decided to build a monument to themselves, the Tower of Babel, to make a name for themselves, to be their own gods. But for their own sake, God confused their communication in order that they might see their need to surrender to God as God. People are still striving to make a name for themselves through wealth, power, position. All these things are ways people seek significance, to be somebody. However, at the end of the story, Paul tells us that the name of Jesus is above every name, and at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. You can spend your life trying to achieve a temporary moment of significance by being a big name, or you can bow a knee today to the one who in the end will be the name above every name.
For more from God's Word, visit backtothebible.org. That's backtothebible.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of Champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
Troy Storfgel is a professor of Nordic Studies at Pacific Lutheran University. The other day, he told a Seattle Times columnist he has no problem with Antifa groups attacking conservatives. The question was in response to an incident last summer when journalist Andy Ngo was brutally assaulted by Antifa thugs. He was hospitalized with serious injuries. Professor Storfgel said he did not have a problem with the violence because he considers conservative journalists like Andy Ngo to be militant fascist. He went on to say there's nothing wrong with people striking the first blow, said it's okay to punch people like Nazis. Mr. Ngo's not a Nazi. He's not a fascist either, but that's how the left operates. Any opinion contrary to theirs is deemed hate speech. You know, President Reagan once said, if fascism ever comes to America, it'll come in the name of liberalism. Be sure to download my free Toddcast podcast at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed and Fred, thank you for listening to American Family Radio. We talked at the top of the broadcast about some great news, which happened late last week in an announcement by the Trump administration through the Health and Human Services Department. That is a federal agency under the direction of the executive branch of government, which means it's under the direction of President Trump. And wanted to get Rob Chambers in here. Rob, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim.
Rob, you work for us here at AFA. You've been reading and talking to some folks about this new this policy. In a nutshell, what did this do? This reversed an Obama policy?
Right. In 2016, President Obama put into policy via HHS to require organizations, nonprofits that would be receiving federal dollars, for example, adoption agencies, foster care, to place those children into households of same-sex couples or transgender, what have you. So that's what Obama put in place back in 2016. What President Trump's administration did on Friday is basically threw down the gauntlet and said, that is no more. So they totally halted or stopped the enforcement of Obama's 2016 policy. So this is a significant religious liberty win.
It's bold and it's gutsy.
Yes.
And the President Trump, you know, and his, you know, they're going to get hit over the head about this one again. Like, well, of course, it's every day, right? So what? Just a new one. But yeah. You said this takes place effective immediately?
Well, it takes place immediately. So they stopped it on Friday. So it is no longer in effect. So what they're going to do now is go through the rules and procedures of what Obama did back in 2016, and they're going to reissue the rules in keeping with the civil rights law as supported by Congress. So we have no non-discrimination laws on the books in Congress.
Gotcha.
So that means, and here's interesting, this is in the release there that HHS issued. The proposed rule represents the Trump administration's strong, let me back up, quote, the proposed rule represents the Trump administration's strong commitment to the rule of law, the Constitution, federal statutes, and Supreme Court decisions. These require that the federal government not infringe on religious freedom in its operation of HHS grant programs and addresses the impact of regulatory actions on small entities, close quote.
Let me just say something. Of course, this is a projection or an opinion, I guess you could say. With the exception of Senator Ted Cruz, I would say no other Republican who ran for office 3 years ago would have done this.
You guys agree with me? I can't think of anyone else. Maybe missing someone. But Cruz is probably the only other one. Like Jeb Bush wouldn't have, Marco Rubio.
No, they'd all been scared to death of being called a hater.
Yes.
Huh? So now Rubio might have. I don't know. Cruz would have. But Trump's the only one with the guts to do something like this, which is the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
Absolutely the right thing to do because, and this is not prohibiting gay couples from going out and adopting children at other agencies. This is just saying, look, these Christian charities, adoption agencies, have doctrine that they follow, that mm-hmm. they followed for thousands of years, and that is that marriage is between a man and a woman, and children are best raised in the confines of a home with a father and a mother. That's not just because you believe that doesn't mean you hate anybody.
That's right. That's right.
Or you're a bigot. But the other side says, no, it does too. And we got to reject that, but mm-hmm. good for President Trump.
Absolutely. Well, it shows, you know, he campaigned on religious liberty.
He did.
Judges, you know, this
he
is
did,
a... He
did, but you just wondered how much he knew about it and how much he believed it or how much he was pandering at the time. I mean, I did. I wondered because this guy, he's from New York, he's a billionaire, he's a playboy. How much has he studied religious liberty?
Right.
You know, you just wonder. But to his credit, President Trump, he went out... He may not have understood it all, but he went out and got the people who did.
Absolutely.
And he hired them to be on his team.
Right. Yes, and it shows at the HHS that they have some very astute minds and that really understand religious liberty, civil rights, as it was intended by our original framers. They have some outstanding people
this
there.
This doesn't discriminate against anybody. People are still free to go adopt. You just can't force a Christian adoption agency to place children
mm-hmm.
in homosexual couple homes.
That's right.
And that shouldn't come as a shock.
Well, it's interesting, you know, of course, to kind of back up a little bit, you know, in early October, the Supreme Court heard the arguments on the LGBT case at Supreme Court. So
which case?
On the Michigan funeral home. And the employee.
People don't know about that.
Okay, yeah, so in Michigan, so you had a funeral home, had an employee that identified as transgender, a male wanted to dress as a female. The owner fired him, and so then he brings forth a lawsuit against the funeral home, and those oral arguments were heard early October. Okay, well, so you had these oral arguments October 8th. Now the HHS releases this. So I wonder, you know, what does this say moving forward prior to or even up to the day when the Supreme Court issues their decision on LGBT homosexuality?
It'll be in February, I think. And again, the Supreme Court will make the decision whether the funeral home there has a right to, dress code policy, I guess, with respect to their employees.
And it's certainly clear with what the Trump administration has done here. They've made it abundantly clear where they stand on religious liberty.
Yeah. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Tim.
Appreciate it. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio.
Can I just throw one
thing
in?
Please throw one thing
in. This issue of discrimination, everybody, let me just say this. Everyone always assumes that discrimination is always bad.
Right, that's a good point.
You know, when my wife and I get in the car and we go to get something to eat, I always ask her because she's going to be the one to make the decision.
Right.
Even if she says it doesn't matter to me where we go.
Right.
Okay. Because she says, oh, it doesn't matter to me. You pick something.
That's,
I pick
that's
something.
Code for yes, it does matter to
it
me.
It does matter. So if she picks restaurant A as opposed to restaurant B, she says, well, I didn't like restaurant B's food the other, you know, so let's go to restaurant A. Okay. Well, that is discrimination, technically speaking. When the American Civil Liberties Union is hiring people, it is discrimination to say we don't want to hire a conservative Christian. Their views are opposite of ours. But that's not discrimination that's bad, invidious discrimination. They are deciding, since they're a nonprofit, we want secular leftists, preferably atheists. And they have that right to do that. That's why when we're talking about a Christian or even a Muslim adoption agency, I don't know if they have any, but I know Christian adoption agencies or Jews, whatever, they say we want to place children in the model of marriage that we agree with. So is that technically discriminating against same-sex couples? Yes, but they have just as much right to do what they believe is right as the American Civil Liberties Union does in hiring people who are atheists.
No, I know, but the problem is that the other side, the LGBT activist groups, they want to drive those Christian adoption agencies out of business.
Yes.
Just like they want to drive the florist out of business.
Right.
The baker out of business who doesn't bake a cake for the gay wedding, they want to say, no, you're out of business, and we'll take your home if we have to.
Like all dictatorial movements,
right,
it's submit or perish.
Right.
You bow the knee to our ideology,
right,
or you go out of business.
Anyway, good news on the religious freedom front there. You're listening to today's issues. By the way, President Trump was in Tupelo.
Tupelo, Mississippi.
On Friday, the Traveling Trump Show was here, and he was here to support gubernatorial candidate Tate Reeves for the Tuesday election tomorrow. And I know it's a nation. There is an election taking place all over the country tomorrow.
Various places. Mm-hmm.
But there's a governor's race in Mississippi, and he came to support the Republican candidate. Did President Trump.
It was a very quiet night at the rally.
Well, the guy, I just don't see how he has the energy to do all the – and you wait, he's going to ramp up again now between now and next year. that took place on Friday. You know, with Air Force One, though, Allison, my wife and I were talking the other day. We were saying, yeah, he does have a lot on his plate, talking about President Trump every day for sure. But it's also pretty nice when you can travel – you know, it helps out when you can travel on Air Force One and sleep at the White House.
And take a nap if you want on the flight.
And everything's catered.
Yeah.
Right? Everything's catered to you. So that's a perk.
That helps, doesn't it?
Of course, President Trump has had that for a long time in his business.
Right.
Know. I wonder if they give free pretzels.
Free pretzels? You
know, kind of like what we get when we travel. Yep.
Hey, and let me tell
you
something.
On the airplane?
Yeah.
Air Force One probably gives you the upgrade on that, Fred. Go ahead.
And the free pretzels that the rest of us get, it's like five pretzels, and these bags get smaller and smaller.
One of these airlines, you got me worked up now, Fred. Now, I travel on American, Delta, and United a lot, those three in particular, where I live out of Memphis. But one of them, I don't forget, one of them said it was a couple of years ago, and they had cut out the pretzels or the peanuts altogether.
What?
Yeah, it happened. Do you remember this?
Well, the peanuts are gone.
Yeah, because of allergies.
Well, this happened. Well, maybe it was something, but anyway, they had nothing.
No snacks at all? Not even the little...
It only lasted for like a month or two. I mean, I think there was a revolt on the part of a... But that lady, she said to me, I said, I'll have the... you know, I do want the pretzels with the, you know, with my apple juice. I'm sorry, sir. We don't offer the pretzels anymore. I just looked at her I looked at her just bewildered, and I said, "What has happened to my country?" And she didn't have an answer for me.
So I got to pay for my luggage.
Yeah,
you're gonna you're gonna
and you cut pretzels out.
Eliminate. You're gonna squeeze me in even tighter into my seat.
That's right.
And now you cut the pretzels out.
Now you're even cutting the pretzels out.
Yeah.
The five pretzels.
They brought them back though. I do think it was I think it was a petition. that garnered millions of people. But anyway, yeah, the leg space can't be cut anymore, though.
No, my goodness.
Now, I'm 5'10 and a half, and I fit fairly comfortably in there, but you get people well, you're 6'1", right?
I'm 6'1", but there's people like 6'4". And,
mm-hmm.
And
how do they do it?
I don't know how they do that. They just sit in misery for however long they're in the plane.
Especially if they have their dog with them.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a new addition, too.
Yeah.
Or their pony.
Or their pony.
Now
yeah.
you can bring your carrying pony on.
Yep.
Is it a carrying pony? What is it called?
No, it's a not a carrying pony. That's a toy for little girls.
Oh, what is it called?
My little carrying pony. I'm just kidding.
What
folks.
Is it called when you have a little pony friend that goes on the plane with you?
Now, we got in trouble last time we did this because we started making fun of the pony.
I'm not making fun. I'm asking what it's called.
I know the
little pony friend.
The people looking on the TV, they know what looking on the screen. They know what you're doing.
Okay.
What is it? It's a I just can't think of the name.
It's supposed to make you feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
The pony is.
Huh? Service pony.
Service what?
Service pony. Service dog.
Service dog.
There's a name for it. I'm going to Facebook. Our Facebook people.
Also, you can have a little pig with you too. Now, did you see that?
Yeah. Oh, you just about anything.
A little pot-bellied pig can be your service pig.
Bring a frog.
Can you imagine if you're sitting beside somebody that has brought their Great Dane along? what do you do? I mean, the Great Dane doesn't fit in front of that narrow seat.
You can
lay right across.
That's a bigoted view, Fred, against the Great Danes.
The Danes,
Danes.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Airline Critique today.
Yeah. Where's our Facebook people? They usually help us. Cindy says it is a service pony or a service animal companion. Yeah. Well, now they're emotional support. Now they're just now we're getting all kinds of answers. So, service pony, service animal, companion, emotional support.
Well, I said little pony friend.
Marty says your safe space pony.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
The point
Good
is
job,
the
Facebook
point is
people.
To make you to more to make you as you board the plane to soothe your soul, you have your little pony. So
right.
Whatever you call that, that's
people
what
are nervous and so the
All right.
pony helps you out.
Fred, what's next, Fred?
Well, I tell you what, I breathed a sigh of relief on Friday because I thought Elizabeth Warren's Medicare for All plan was going to cost $52 trillion. She announced, and I really was relieved, just under $52 trillion.
Oh, well, that's going to make all the difference.
Well, she put a pencil to it and found some cuts. And
Where are you going to get the money, Senator Warren? Well, we're going to start. Now, listen to this, folks. This is the serious. We're transitioning here. What we're going to do, we're going to go into corporate America. So let's say you work for a corporation in America and they provide health care benefits. What Elizabeth Warren's going to do to help pay for this just under $52 trillion, she's going to take all the money that that company spends on Blue Cross or Humana or whatever the case may be. We're going to take that money from the corporation. Just going to take that money from them. And so all the employees, all of a sudden, you'll get to be on Medicare. And she was asked over the weekend, what are you going to do with all these people who work for Blue Cross, Humana, and all these who sell health insurance? Oh, they can go out and sell auto insurance. No kidding. That was her response. Just, sorry about that. You don't have a job anymore.
She is committing political suicide, right in front of our very eyes. Of course, this is what she believes, so
yes.
If she were to not say it, she would be denying her governmental philosophy, which is communistic. You know who benefits most from this stuff right here? From Warren saying things like this, which is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
It's nutty economics, to say the least. And I think even pagans like money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you don't have to be a Christian to
no,
care about
or to want your private health insurance.
Right.
But the person who benefits most from this is former Vice President Joe Biden.
Yes.
Because by comparison, he looks moderate.
Yes.
Huh? And so
all he wants to do is tinker with Obamacare.
Right.
Whereas
and most Americans are fine with that, I would say, probably. At least not, but she wants to shut down the healthcare industry in America.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, I will say this. Now, folks, bear with me here now, because we all know that these kinds of presidential campaign seasons seem like they last forever. But I will tell you this. The good thing about them last, maybe we don't need them to last as long as they do, but you do find out what people really believe the longer this goes on. Because if you just have a one-month campaign, you can hide what you really believe for 30 days. But when you go for a year or a year and a half explaining, and then people keep saying, well, we want to know what your plan is, then someone like Elizabeth Warren has to come out with it. And she says, well, it's going to cost $52 trillion, which would bankrupt the country.
Yep.
And then when people say, how are you going to pay for it? Well, we're just going to take money from the rich. Well, you know what? There's not enough money there to pay for this. And then what are you going to do if you have private insurance? Well, you're not going to have it anymore.
Nope.
I mean, all this stuff is coming out because she's having to explain her wacky proposals.
Let me just say something here. With her... and with Bernie Sanders, too, if they start rising to the level of overtaking Biden and becoming the front runner on the Democrat side, that she's going to they're going to have a lot of people scared, all right, on Wall Street, on Main Street, the healthcare industry, doctors. Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg is really worried about Elizabeth Warren.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no fan of Zuckerberg and Facebook, but in terms of their politics, but I think he would never say this probably, but I would think he would be more for Trump than he would for Warren, because Warren wants to bust up his company.
Mm-hmm.
And so there'd be a lot of money pouring into the Trump campaign. If it became clear that Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders was going to be the nominee on the Democrat side, from these industries who were terrified of the idea of a socialist / communist taking over, being the leader of the country.
Yeah, you know, these lefties talk. It sounds good to a lot of people, but when the reality hits, like Elizabeth Warren is saying, now if we don't get enough money from taking all the money that corporations spend on healthcare insurance, we're going to go back to them again and tax them some more and get some more money out of them. Now, what she was responding to is that Bernie Sanders says there will be a tax on the middle class with his Medicare for All plan. And he's been saying Elizabeth Warren's lying. She's not telling the truth. Well, Elizabeth Warren said, so there's not going to be any tax increase on the middle class. But here's what happens. You keep taking money out of corporate America, and guess what happens to the middle class? They lose their job.
Right.
So there's no tax increases if you don't have a job.
Right.
And this is what's happening out there. And again, I say Americans aren't stupid people. Sooner or later, they catch on to this. There's only a limited amount of money out there.
Right.
And corporations will do just what they've done with other more liberal regimes. They just move the companies offshore.
Right. To another country.
They shut it down.
More hospitable financially.
They just leave. It's as simple as that.
And to your point, that's how a lot of middle class people lose their jobs.
Exactly.
That's what's happened to manufacturing in our country.
Yes.
Now, Biden, again, he does stand to benefit from this. Biden, the only thing about Joe Biden, well, not the only thing, but I just don't think the guy's going to make it to the, by that I mean, he hasn't, to me, shown the mental stamina to be able to hold up to a rigorous presidential campaign.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? For all the reasons we've all noticed, you know, misspeaking, faux pas, foot in mouth, forgetting facts, messing stories up. Oh, I was there. Then the next day somebody comes out and says, no, you weren't. You were somewhere else.
Right.
When the Parkland people came to visit you at the White House.
Right.
Oh, you were actually in, you know, Angola or something like that. Anyway, so but he is the most viable one in terms of his moderation on the Democrat side. Keep in mind that. I think Joe Biden is very liberal. But in, by comparison to Elizabeth Warren and to
Bernie Sanders,
he's a moderate.
Right.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues, Fred.
Yeah, we've heard about the homeless problem in San Francisco, Los Angeles. You may not have heard about what's going on in Austin, Texas. Folks, things have gotten really bad there because the mayor of that city basically made a declaration back several months ago that homeless could live on any public property they wanted to.
Austin's a very liberal city in Texas.
Both the one blue spot
right.
there in elections. Anyway, they've been living under the overpasses, but they've also set up camp on the sidewalks in front of businesses. And folks are just saying enough is enough. So much so that the governor of Texas, Governor Abbott, he has sent crews in there this morning into the city of Austin to begin a major, major cleanup. Now, how did it get that bad? Well, here's one homeless guy. We're not sure of his name. He explains why so many people from all over the nation have been coming to Austin. Cut number four.
People come from all over the country to come to Austin because it's famous. This is a famous place to live on the streets. Everybody knows, man, you want to live on the streets, go to Austin.
Why?
You don't even have to buy food. Everybody feeds you. They give you money. You can party. It's a blast, man.
It's a blast, man, to live in Austin.
So you're telling me that... You're telling me the homeless market is booming in Austin. What you're telling me?
That's it. It's a great place to live. Gets all kinds of free
that's
stuff.
That's what that guy was saying.
It's relatively, I would guess, relatively warm. Now, the winters can get pretty cold.
A bit chilly.
Yes, yeah, a little chilly. But
yeah, but nothing compared to Minneapolis.
Oh, no.
Like that.
But unlike California, in Texas, the governor is sending crews in this morning. Now the governor does say that these people will be moved and they'll be taken care of. I'm not sure what that means yet, but they are going to move them out because people are living on the sidewalks in front of businesses.
But why? My question is, why is this the governor's business? Why is it the mayor of? Unless it's outside the city of Austin, but if you're in Austin,
no.
It's the mayor and the city council's business to clean up their town, right?
I don't know, unless they think it's a public health hazard.
It is.
Maybe some kind of state regulations are being violated. I don't know what the thinking is on the part of
Save Austinians. Is that what they're called? I don't even know.
That sounds right. Austinians.
In other words, I wouldn't save them from their...
Themselves.
Because if Austin is very liberal,
yes,
then they're inviting... these folks, because
literally,
they've
invited them.
Yeah,
yes,
they've invited them. I'd let them suffer the consequences of their decisions. There, that's how you.
That's what's happening on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. Some of these major cities like Los Angeles, San Francisco, they're just having Seattle. Seattle's had a terrible time with their homeless population because
They're putting up tents and everything,
and
right?
they're and, doing and, their business.
Yes.
Fill in the blanks there, folks.
Free food.
On public sidewalks. So,
hey, listen, even if you're a liberal mom with your kids, do you really want to go downtown shopping with all these people?
No, you don't. No, you don't. It's bad for business.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
Ed and I shall return in a few minutes with more with Steve Jordahl. This is Kanye West, the entertainer slash singer. He is garnering audiences by the thousands all over the country, and he's talking about Jesus Christ and God and the Bible. What to make of all this? We're going to we'll discuss that when we get back from the break.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.